The Rush Hour Catch-Up Podcast, leading the way with footy's hottest topics. Diablo Tools lead the way with circular saw blades and the best recip blades in the market. DiabloTools.com.au.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I am the conduit.
Is mate between you and I.
Put moron number two on the phone.
The conduit.
Yep.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime. Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, Monday, here we go. Big show coming your way. Damien Barrett directly.
Yep.
Talking about, of course, a massive round of football and finals coming up and all of the rest of it.
What about the City of Dreams, Jim?
Oh, no.
133 points.
Can
the pussy.
Can you believe it?
Here come the pussy cats.
Oh, what, you just crawled over Freo, did you?
Yeah, just
managed to sneak past them.
Well, quarter time we're down, Jim.
Oh, no, I saw that.
But,
and then
they're coming.
Back end of the show, we put the highlight on a man on Saturday who just took broadcasting to a whole new level.
Yes.
It was just quite extraordinary. Anyway, that's coming up. Hello to you, Bill.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. G'day, Ewan.
John Cena!
Oh, John Cena.
SummerSlam today, Bill.
Is it?
Yes, big
nice
pay-per-view.
Oh.
In New York.
How many fights are there all?
About 10 or something.
10, yeah.
John Cena.
Now, Bill.
Before
we get to the footy, I've got a little number that I want to play.
Yes.
It's a grand old flag. It's a high-flying flag. It's the emblem for me and for you.
They're as good yesterday as they were poxy last week. And they're into the first finals since 2006.
Well done.
Well done to the Melbourne Footy Club.
Yes. Jeez, I was rooting for them.
Oh, don't worry, Bill. So was I. We had a crack at them last week, and they bloody deserved it because they were poor against Sydney, but jeez, they were good yesterday.
Jim,
I love that.
I was at home on the couch, and I was rooting for them.
Oh, of course you were. Bill, it was a magnificent performance in the West against the second-best team in the comp, and they were superb.
Ooh,
well done to Simon Goodwin and his boys, and good luck now. First final series for Cross knows how long.
12 years, Jim.
Well done to them. I can't wait now to see them play in September because they got a nice bit of sizzle about them, Bill.
12-year finals drought, and when Lacroix kicked that goal yesterday, I'm thinking, please.
We were all the same when we thought, this can't happen.
But well done. It was a great
win. They steadied and got the job done. Well done to them, and as I say, we were hard on them last week, but they deserve every accolade they get from yesterday.
And got a couple of boys that have played finals, of course. Nathan Jones,
the only one from Melbourne.
From Melbourne. Then you got Geordie Lewis. You've got
4-time premiership player.
Melcham.
Jake the Snake.
The Pig, Hibbert.
Pig Hibbert.
And I reckon Jeffy Garlett.
Carlton, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I'm not sure. Anyway, Melbourne Storm, Jim, having a nice win over Parramatta.
Very good.
Smoked those eels, Jim.
Oh,
I said.
Oh, no.
20-4 they won. A nice win. But a couple of injuries, Jim.
Oh, yes.
Our man, Smithy, hurt his back. Only a chance to play. They've got two more home and away games.
Yes.
They take on the Gold Coast on Saturday away, and then they play Penrith.
Yep.
At home Friday, August 31, and then they're into the final, so good luck to them. Did you watch the Wallabies, Jim?
Didn't.
Everyone was talking them up, saying they're going to win. They were a big chance to beat New Zealand.
No.
They got smashed.
Poleaxed.
38-13, Jim.
I'm sick of it, Bill.
I tell you what, I'll watch this. And a woeful line out and poor attack gave New Zealand the ball it needed to carve up the Wallabies, Jim.
You're reading the article. How do you bugger up the line out, by the way? You throw the thing to someone who's being hoisted up in the air. How do you get that wrong?
Which you've trained for the last 10 years.
I agree.
That and when you throw the ball in for the scrum, you should never lose that.
Well, bring back John Eels. I don't care how old he is. He'll be the only way we're going to ever get better.
Georgie Gregan.
Oh, Georgie.
So the second test against the All Blacks this Saturday.
Simon Poitevin.
In Auckland. Simon Poitevin.
Remember him?
No.
Mick Farr-Jones.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Campese.
Yeah. Oh, David Campese. Yeah. Gives it out wide to Campese, and he goes bang.
That was the Gordon Bray back in the day. It used to be Poitevin, Farr-Jones, Campese. That was all he ever used to say.
That's the three names.
The three names always together.
Oh, did you see Winks, Jim?
Oh, what about it?
26th win.
And it came from a fair way back.
Brian called it.
Brian, thank you, Brian.
Called him the whole way,
Well, he's not a horse racing man, Bristol. Still did a good job of it. But that's how she wins, Bill. Just gathers and then mows them down.
Oh, magnificent. Down there. You know why she goes wide, Jim? No interference.
No interference.
No one getting in a road. No one touching
Happy
her.
Happy to run further.
So she, runs a lot further.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
I wonder how many more metres she runs, because she runs out wide.
Yeah.
And we won't do any footy, because Damien's out there. Oh, his goggles are fogged up. He's ready to go. But the Coleman, he won't mention this. Getting very interesting. Yes. One game to go, of course.
Yes.
Jack Revolt was 60. Yep. Ben Brown. Goalless. Goal, Jim.
No, I saw
probably
that.
Should have got a couple of free kicks.
I would have thought.
Buddy Franklin, 57.
Yes.
Tom Hawkins, 56.
Yeah, so it's nice. Yeah, it is. Bud's finding some nice touch when it matters. And superb.
For somehow, he looks fitter, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does.
And he's only training 20 minutes a week.
Brilliant. Love him. All right, let's get now. The other thing we're doing is a joke-off between you and a very young family member.
This is Damo's recovery session. Coates Hire will help make your project happen. 13 15 52 or coates-hire.com.au.
He's in here. Nice to see you on a Monday, Purple.
Hello, Jim, Bill, Ewan.
Hello, Damien.
We just played the club song for the Demons.
Yeah,
it could not be happier for them. Mm. We belted them last week, Damo. They deserved it, I thought. They were ordinary against Sydney, but they were brilliant yesterday. And now they play finals. First time in 12 years.
Yeah.
And it's the story of the round and almost of the year for me.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And the fact they've got there in round 22 and not having to wait till round 23, I think that'll free them up too to do something in round 23. And I think it'll also allow them to reset and just get everyone right for whatever lies ahead. And who knows where it could lie, because outside of Richmond, every other club on the ladder, inclusive of the two clubs immediately beneath Richmond, in West Coast and Collingwood, have got injury concerns or form concerns. And they're of a nature that I think is going to throw the finals around. And some team that can get on a surge, and it could well be Melbourne, is going to be the beneficiary of that.
I tell you what is interesting. You lose a bloke like Hogan, you think, gee, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, they look dangerous. They look unpredictable. You got blokes like Hannon and Fritsch and Wiedemann and Kent. And these blokes just bobbing up, don't you? And you think, and Melcham, of course.
Melcham's been a really good player at two footy clubs and it's still getting better at Melbourne, I think. And
but it just makes it unpredictable.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? You feel sorry for them, because they had the massive plan coming out of 2017 to get in a key back. And they did, and they got in a Premier One in Jake Lever, and we know that he's gone down. So I thought that was going to derail their big picture plans. And then they also have had their one of their captains, Jack Viney, out for a large part of the year. And I thought that added to Lever was going to hit them. And then Hibbard was out for a long period of time. Mm. He returned yesterday. Hogan's out again, Bill, as you say. But Brayshaw's come back in, and he's been outstanding,
hasn't he been outstanding. And Maxie was back in town yesterday. Well,
and this game now is enormous. They play GWS on the weekend. They win that, potentially. Obviously, they need to win it. If they win it, they go. Well, they can certainly get a home final out of there. And that would be the thing they'd be desperate for, wouldn't it? The MCG first round for Melbourne.
That'd be the one. Basically, those two ladder positions, six GWS playing seventh, Melbourne
and
would
Sydney
swap.
Play Hawthorn.
So four plays five. Yep. That game being held in Sydney, which is fifth, and Hawthorn. So that game will determine the double chance point, you would think. And then more intrigue when you go up the ladder again. Yeah. Collingwood has to travel to Perth to play Fremantle, and West Coast has to travel to Brisbane to play the Lions. And you could see a scenario where those results go Collingwood's way, and then you've got a home final for Collingwood at the MCG in the first week.
That would be enormous. Imagine the AFL with Richmond a home final at the G, Collingwood a home final at the G, Melbourne a home final at the G. Jeez, they would be loving the thought of that.
It could be four home finals or four finals at the G round one, couldn't it?
Would Geelong get one down the Cattery, Bill?
No.
See, Hawthorn could.
Yeah.
Four
could
to fifth.
Four,
And then Melbourne could go to six. So, it could be Richmond, Collingwood, Hawthorn and Melbourne and having their home final spots.
Now that would be nice for the coffers.
It would be.
I just liked it. I loved the way they were challenged in the game. Yeah. As Bill said, we're all watching it thinking Lacroix kicks that goal. Here we go again. But they just dug deep and steadied with great composure. And I thought just won it actually running away.
And in the end, they did. They actually did. They controlled those final few moments. And liked how they did it, as you say. Set it up really early, didn't they? They got 4.5 goals ahead, and then the heat kicked in, and as it was going to, or it seemingly kicked in, and they just held on, didn't they? Had an 8-point, 14-point buffer regularly, and then Lacroix moved in. So the other big story out of the weekend was the official re-emergence of not just his club, but him as an individual, was Buddy Franklin.
Buddy.
Incredible 3 weeks of...
He did kick, what, six against Collingwood at Collingwood. So he has actually been building.
It's 3 weeks.
Nicely.
It's a 3 week patch, Jim. They had that game against the Gold Coast Suns, and then they lost by four goals. And then the following week, they then played and lost to Essendon.
Yep.
That was the week where John Longmire came out and said, "Buddy's only trained for 20 minutes for the entire year." And we know what's happened since. He's kicked those six against Collingwood. Only had the two against Melbourne, but he had seven shots at goal and then another five on the weekend. So 13 goals in those last three. 26 shots at goal, though, is the key, I think, stat to come out of those past
three. Did you see the vision of him walking past the attendant who asked him for his pass?
Yeah.
How funny is that?
Well, we had Isaac Heaney on, and poor old Isaac got pulled up.
He did.
And he had to try and find his pass, but he's just
gone. That's just going, you're joking me, aren't you?
But what about Sydney? The last three weeks ago, I think we all thought, gone.
Nearly finished,
Maxi, gone.
Well, that was after the Gold Coast and Essendon loss.
That's right.
They just looked terrible. And now they look
so what's the turnaround there?
Buddy.
All right.
Oh, they've also got some game back into McVay. And Jack's been good too, Bill, since he's managed to get himself back in. So, held it all together. Clearly, McVay makes those players in the midfield better because they were struggling in that period in question, Bill, when they were losing.
Bloody
and
oaf.
They're a life chance again.
Canterbury is one of them.
Collingwood, again, we've been saying it all year, but gee, they deserve some real credit,
agreed,
don't they? Getting themselves to 14 wins and still with the chance to go into second spot. Did it on the back of, as you called, Jim, a seventh debutant, Nathan Murphy. You had James Aish on the footy show yesterday, Bill, didn't you? And he made the point that a month ago, four of the six in the back line were playing together in the VFL. Himself, Oxley, Nathan Murphy, who
Madgen
had his debut, and Madgen. And it's a month ago, they were together thinking, we're going okay in the VFL. Oh, and now they're holding up a back line of a team which is going to get a double chance and could well get the home final double chance. So I do love what that club has done this year, despite all the injuries that it's copped.
No, wonderful. Couldn't agree with you anymore. I love it.
And there's another
one. Jeremy Howe, we had him on the Triple M. What about that? An operation for the Corky, half his fist the size they took out, and he reckons he's going to play next week. Now, he'd be certainly welcome in. Darcy Moore, any news on him?
Don't see him being ready for this week. Haven't ruled him out for the year, but I can't imagine them taking him to Perth for his return game this week.
And Treloar was the other interest.
Yeah, it's going to be late in the finals period. I reckon he might be aiming for a preliminary final type of time frame, Bill. And I reckon if he's ready, he may as well go all out on the track on that week and see what happens.
But it's interesting, the VFL, for Solo kicks five. Jared Blair was very good. Josh Dacos, Callum Brown. So they do have a bit of depth, don't they?
They do.
They really do.
They do. They've finally got some people back. Yeah. Another superstar of the competition just got his team over the line in the last half of the last quarter. Sean Burgoyne against St Kilda. Now, you look at the list of nine games out of the weekend, and the Hawthorn St Kilda one was not one of the highlights, but it was from a Sean Burgoyne perspective, as it often has been when it comes to him playing a key
back
role.
Back end of Diego Maradona's career, Purple. I don't know if you remember watching him play for Argentina in those World Cups. He just used to lurk. He just lurked around, and then suddenly, as soon as something was alive, he just went bang. Sean Burgoyne, for me, now spends 20, 30 minutes doing bugger all. And he does, just cruises. And then suddenly, when the moment arises, he just is the best player on the ground by daylight second.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenon, that bloke.
We packaged up a video, sort of, I suppose, collection of what he did in those last 15 minutes for Access All Areas today, Jim. And he did more than lurk. He went and got the ball.
No, but what I'm saying is earlier in the game, he's just around the place and often, you know, not where the footy is. And then when it matters, he is just extraordinary.
He was. And some dinky little handballs around the, even over his head, Western Bulldogs 2016 style, got the play opened up for his team. So
intercepted stoppages, won three of them when it mattered. Yep. I mean, he's just
in a pack and then kicked a long bomb goal.
He's extraordinary.
And they needed that, obviously, because they stay in fourth spot going into this round, leaving themselves with the scenario, beat the Swans in Sydney, and they stay fourth. So, I mean, had they lost that to St Kilda, it would have been heartbreaking for that footy club. Not that anyone not associated with Hawthorn would use that terminology about that club.
They will need
now
to be much better than that, though. As Al Clarkson said, in 2 weeks' time, they're going to have to be much better. They got smashed clearances, smashed contested footy. They can't do that against Richmond.
No.
They will get beaten badly.
But the good teams just get over the line in those games where the bad teams would actually lose and win. So St Kilda was going to win that game against a lot of teams on the weekend, and that obviously went against the flow for them. But they just did enough when when it counted.
Yep.
we're out of glass half full.
Oh, don't tell me. What about Geelong kicking 23 goals?
Does it even count? Does it even count?
Yeah, it's a world record.
I want to talk about that game, but not in a positive sense.
It's a world record, you flog.
All right, we'll make it positive then.
I will make a positive of Ross Lyon's press conference. No. Don't you love it? The great Mick Malthouse was, I think, the all-time great at it.
Yeah.
When they know they're completely buggered, they decide, I'm coming at you. Rather than sit back and just cop it, Big Roscoe's thought, the only way I can defend 24 against in a row is to actually go someone, which I half admire. I half admire it, Purple.
I can't use that word with Ross Lyon anymore, Jim. You know, Aussie's number one ticket holder for so many years, and I'm off it now.
Yeah,
though,
no, they've had a hard year, but I just like anyone who looks at that and goes, right, I'm stepping forward. More after this with Damo.
This is the Triple M's Monday recovery session.
That's it.
Smack bang in the middle of Damo's recovery session for Coates Hire. Coates Hire will make your project happen. 1350 52 or coateshire.com.au.
Nice to have Damo in with us. We've done the positive stuff. So what else have we got in our armoury?
Negatives. Now, can I start it?
You please start it.
Fremantle Footy Club.
I want to start there too.
Look at this. 2013, Jim. Mm-hmm. That's only 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Finished third, played off in the grand final against the Hawks.
Yep.
Got beaten by 15 points. Grand final, 2013. Mm-hmm. 2014, finished fourth, out in straight sets. 2015, finished on top.
You forget that, don't you? I looked at that before. Top. 17 wins, 5 losses.
Beat Sydney in a qualifying.
Top of the ladder.
And then lost the prelim to Hawthorn. That was 2015, finished on top. 2016, finished 16th with 4 wins. And then last year, 14th with 8 wins.
Mm.
Mate, where are they going?
Well, on the back of, and just to snapshot what did happen, Bill, the Cats were trailing at quarter time and then kicked 23 goals to ultimately win by 133 points. It's the ninth time, Jim, they've lost by 50 points or more this year. They've made a decision to recontract Harley Bennell, who's only played 2 games of football in the past 3 seasons.
And
Hayden Ballantyne.
I can't believe that.
And it's moving the right way for Aaron Sanderlands to also be given another year. So this rewiring, replumbing, restumping that Ross Lyon forecast, was it last year, early last year?
Yep.
I don't know where they're at with it, because the messaging out of there is anything but they're rebuilding. They're just a mess of a football club.
Well, you've got to take him for his word, I think, and he's saying, right, we're going back to go forward. They're not the first team to have done that. I think they've got some cattle out at the moment, but I think you've just got to acknowledge, Purple, that their list is not actually that good.
No, I think you have to.
And now they'll go back to the draft this year and they'll get another good look at it. They got Chira and Brayshaw out of this last draft, who are both going to be bloody good footballers.
And they both look really good.
Yeah, so their supporters have to accept they're going to be poor now for probably another 40 games.
And Roslyn, I think, also needs to take some responsibility for how they look when they play, because it's not enticing. Even when they were going okay, Bill, in those better years, they threw a lot of money at Jack Riewoldt, at Harry Taylor, at other players, and they didn't die wondering when it came to putting a figure in front of those people, and they didn't want to take it, even when they were going well on the ladder finishes. So now when they're not going well and they're down the bottom, it's a long, long way out of this, and he's still got 2 years of a contract to run. Or their club was unencumbered with that contract, it would have to be something where you'd have to have a look as to where he and they are going.
Well,
right
let
now.
Me ask you this, and I'm just wearing the devil's hat here. What have they won? 7 games?
Yeah,
14th.
Eight
games in a 14th. Did you expect at the start of the year that Fremantle were going to be any further advanced than that at this time of 2018?
No, probably. Oh, maybe 1 or 2 more wins. But what I didn't expect to happen, Jim, was a game like the weekend just gone, and also for the losses to be in the 10 goal range on average. And that's what it is.
Well, I must admit, I did look at that game on the weekend and thought, freezing cold, Simmons Day, whatever it's called, Cardinia Park,
GMA,
against the Cats, who are smarting after the week before. I expected them to get beaten badly in that game. I didn't have 24 unanswered goals in my head.
Yeah.
But I just don't see them as being any better than that. And I reckon if you sat with Ross, he'd say the same thing. You go, well, that's about where we're at as a club.
Well,
they've won 7 games at home and lost 5 at home.
Mm. So 7 of their 8 have been at home. Yeah. Pose a question to the two of you. Of the teams that have missed the 8 and the bigger name teams, we've got a reigning grand finalist in Adelaide. We've got a team in Port Adelaide which has been given resource upon resource to perform for the now and recruited in with Rockliffe and Watts and Motlop. You've also got Essendon, which did similarly when it came to recruits, Smith, Sard and Stringer. And that trio played well throughout the course of this year. They're missing the finals, that trio of clubs. Mm. Who's most underperformed.
Oh, Adelaide, no doubt. There have been reasons for it. They've had extensive injury and all the rest of it, but they have. To be in a grand final and then to currently be sitting 12th, they would be bitterly disappointed with what's gone on there, no doubt about it.
And John Worsfold's saying that Essendon, it's not a wasted season. I refute that, Jim and Bill, because they've had too many seasons since 2013 for the drug saga to not have the luxury, I use that word in inverted commas, to waste a season when everything is right and okay again and everyone's up and about. So we know what happened. They got to round eight and they changed things up. And I get what he's saying about that time frame since setting them up for 2019, but they've thrown away 2018 in the process. And when Port Adelaide loses five of the past six, Bill, having set themselves up quite nicely, it does, I suppose, pose the question where they are at. But one thing that has happened in the past 24 hours, the outspoken usually, and I love him for it, David Kosh, chairman, president of the club, has backed Ken Hinckley in as coach on 5-8.
Extremely comfortable. I think Ken's the best coach for Port Adelaide Football Club. It's sort of interesting how things change at 11-4. Ken was seen as a superhero, and then everyone changes their mind so quickly. That's sort of the brutality of AFL. I can absolutely say there's no question about the future of Ken whatsoever.
So we can remove that, and not that was generating a lot of discussion, but we can remove it. That's categoric. But yeah, when you see them now, Bill, with the 12-9 scoreline, and David Kosh reminded us there, it was 11-4.
So well, 1-5.
So if we put the same filter on the discussion as we did with Freo, for me, there are four clubs in the bottom half, in Port Adelaide, Essendon, Adelaide, and the Western Bulldogs, who I expected to be much better than their now position is. Mm. I thought North would be somewhere around,
really?
I never thought they'd be the bottom. I thought they'd be somewhere around 10, 11, 12, so they're about where I thought they'd be.
Yes.
And I'd never had any real hopes for Freo, St Kilda, I never thought were great, Brisbane and Carlton and the Suns. So they're about right, but the four for me are the Dogs, Adelaide, Essendon and Port.
And Port, you're throwing the Dogs into that as well.
Yeah. They have to be disappointed with where they are.
The Dogs have only won eight.
Yeah,
that's fair. I reckon you're right.
And they've beaten Geelong, but outside of that, those wins they've had are all amongst the teams outside of the eight. Luke Beveridge, I don't often see eye to eye with him, Jim, as you both and as you know, Bill. But I agree with him 100% when he says this about the possibility, and I think it's just a furphy to put out there, Jim and Bill, but the possibility that the two clubs down the bottom of the ladder, Bill, Gold Coast and Carlton, possibly getting draft picks in the compensation form after immediately their first picks.
We'll be pretty disappointed if these compensation picks come in before us in the draft, because our demographic as far as youth versus mature age isn't dissimilar. Hopefully if there's compensation there, either at the back end of the first round or there's some kind of caveat on it where you need to trade it out for mature age.
I think he's summed up.
Couldn't agree with him anymore. Really well. We discussed it on the rub. It can only be that. But what the AFL are very good at, Purple, and they've been doing it now for a long time, is throwing this sort of garbage in. So then there's outrage. So then when they come back to the position they actually want, the outrage isn't there because you've already had your outrage about something that was never going to happen. They are the
they
best
don't
in
do
the
that,
world.
Jim, do they?
In the world, they're the best at it, Purple.
I know.
So they'll be preparing a compensation package that now will look like they've come back and listen to everyone.
Yeah,
which is something they've already got ready.
Which is about halfway through the first round, maybe.
I reckon.
Which still would be wrong in my eyes, too. And I think I'm speaking for you, too, because you I reckon, tabled this when you were chairman of North Melbourne Footy Club. This should never, ever get a compensation pick within the first round itself.
No.
And I'm actually coming around to that view, and I hope the AFL maintains that line.
Do you know who needs a little smack or a big? Dane Zorko.
He does.
He's carry on the weekend again.
Poor.
It was poor.
Yeah, I thought it was really ordinary and pathetic, actually, because it happened in round five in the first Q clash when Tuke Miller went up to him post-match and he didn't embrace him all nicely. And then really smart Alex style on the weekend, thrust the hand out after telling him to, and again, look, people just have a look at the vision. You can work out what he said to him really nastily and very unsportsmanlike. And I wouldn't have shaken his hand on that occasion if I was Tuke Miller.
Well, and I hope they'll have review today, Bill, yes. The Lions. I hope that the players, rather than Chris Fagan, are the ones in that meeting who turn around and say, listen, mate, that's not what we want to stand for as an organisation or as a group of people. We don't want to see that happen again.
He's captain,
that's what
too.
Should happen. Exactly right. So, you know, Luke Hodge, people like that should be in that meeting saying to him, listen, mate, if we want to be respected as a group of people within this community, we can't have that garbage happening.
But then Chris Fagan's got to grab a few of those boys. Nick Robertson. I know Robertson. Yep. I didn't mind what he said, but that's just getting a bit smart aleck too. And then you see Dane Zorko, a bit smart aleck. You just got to bring that back a bit.
Yeah, I had more of a problem with Zorko than I did Robertson for what it's worth. But I like the theatre of a build-up to a game with that sort of commentary. I know it's not what everyone likes, and Chris Fagan made it known that he didn't like it. But yeah, it's a good point you make, Jim, about the players around Dane Zorko. He's done so well, hasn't he? He's won three best and fairest. The first of those three tied with three others. Legitimately won two best and fairest on top of that initially, tied one, and then an All-Australian last year. Has carried himself so very well, but in times of adversity, sometimes you can sometimes see a side of someone that he would not be at all happy with right now.
As long as he fixes it.
Yeah. So we touched on that. GWS too, Bill. We just need to quickly sign off on them. We're playing well against the Swans until injuries hit within game.
They hit the wall.
Again.
Jeez, yeah, Griffin went down. Davis had to be manoeuvred up to the forward line. And then Finlayson was just totally out of his depth when it came to playing on Buddy Franklin, one out and exposed. And look, that's going to happen to hundreds of footballers throughout the course of a season, but he just was not anywhere near it. And North, they threw it away last week, I thought, in that third quarter against Western Bulldogs. And again, it allowed them no wiggle room. They lost to Adelaide, but fought the game right out hard, right to the last minute yesterday against the Crows in Adelaide.
I said to you, Purple, I reckon it was two or three weeks ago, I reckon North could easily win the next three games and still miss.
Yeah,
and they would have. They would have won last week and this week and next week. I reckon they'd still miss because Geelong will win. I reckon they would have still missed the eight. So that's how extraordinary a season that is. I agree with you. I thought they were really good. Poor second quarter, but from the second half, I thought they were really good. And I agree with Brad Scott. They're building something really nice, but they need outside run. They've got to get those boys.
What do you
in.
Know about Gaff, Jim? It's the footy industry tells
down
you
down to two. Damo
it's
said
firming.
You said down to two.
Yep, it's firming that it's North Melbourne.
And
just by way of same thing. Again, relying on the people I speak to in that player movement space at club level and agency level, player agency level. Yeah, it seems as though they're well placed for both.
Come on, Jim.
I will say this. I watched Polek on the weekend with you, and he did two or three things that are exactly what North Melbourne
outside
need.
Two questions. Jared Waite, he kicked three goals, 10 marks on the weekend. Get another year?
Oh, he gets another 5 years. I just love him, Bill. The theatre that man presents is gold.
And then he stuffs it up, which we love. And Damo, anything, any other news on St Kilda, or is that good loss help?
It doesn't change the overall scenario, but it's better losing by 4 points than losing by 84 points.
Right, bus.
There it is.
All right, we've had one on the Gold Coast for a lot of the year. We've had one at St Kilda for regular parts of the year. We're leaving it there, and we're going to have to send a couple over, long way over, all the way across to Fremantle.
Ooh.
They need a proper
Ross will love that when he walks out and
full
sees
petrol
the bus
tank.
with you driving it. Imagine that, he'd punch you.
Purple, great to see you. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday for the midweek run.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Damo.
That was Damo's recovery session. Coates Hire will help make your project happen. 13 15 52 or coateshire.com.au.
Jimmy boy, guess what?
What?
American Pie 5.
No.
Is happening, my friend.
No.
And next year marks the 20th anniversary of American Pie 1, of course. Then there was American Pie 2. American Pie 3 was the wedding.
Yes.
And then there was American Reunion, which was number 4.
Right.
And now they're saying, Jim, and this is Tara Reid, who once did a press conference and didn't know her boob was hanging
out. That's it. I remember it.
Yeah, remember that?
I do.
I got it on Flashlog.
Oh, no. Come on, Bill.
Whatever Flashlog is, by the way.
Yes.
But American Pie is happening, Jim.
Yes.
That's what they're saying. And I think there's been about 4 on DVD.
Mm.
So they didn't quite make it to the cinema, Jim, but they're all on DVD. So stand by. We've got all the favourites, Jim and his old man.
Bill.
And Bandcamp.
Bill.
Jim.
We had Stifler's mum in our studio, very, very famously. and she did a scene from American Pie with you.
No, she didn't.
And I've never seen a more a totes orcs response to a lady in person than we saw from you. You completely lost your ability to function. And for those who didn't hear the famous reprise of that scene with Bill and Stifler's mum, here it is.
Ah, Stifler's mum. Thank you for letting us have a great party.
I think I've got it, Jim.
Oh, as if there were any alternative in the matter. Are you enjoying yourself?
I'm three sheets to the wind, ma'am.
So bad. Gosh, I'm so happy for you. It takes the edge off, doesn't it? And where might your date be?
No date. Bathroom incident.
Pardon me?
Never mind. Have you anything to drink around here?
I believe the kegs are upstairs.
No, that's what the Cretans drink. Oh. I'm talking about alcohol, liquor, the good stuff.
All right. Yeah, I got some scotch.
Single malt.
Aged 18 years. The way I like it. Why don't you go grab the glasses? They're behind the bar.
I think I should.
Mr. Finch. Are you trying to seduce me?
Yes, I am. Ma'am?
Jesus. You know what? You're gonna get it, Bill.
Shit, Jim. What do I do now?
Hey, Jen, he's gone off in the holster. I've never seen him. Oh, no. Bill.
Jim.
And that wasn't the only one either. So that was during the actual doing of the script.
Yeah.
Then Stifler's mum just came and joined us for a normal part of the interview, Yui. And the second time, we're halfway through the conversation and she famously turned and said, yeah. What do you think of that, Bill? And Bill's gone again. He couldn't function for a second time.
She was overwhelming.
You were overwhelmed.
I was. She was. She was up and about.
Oh, Bill. And she had you covered by that far. Yeah, it didn't matter. No,
the good thing is, Bill, it lives on in video at Triple M Rush Hour Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's up there right now. You can go and check it out. So you've got your phone. Check out Bill.
She was good value.
Jennifer Coolidge.
She was.
She had a good fun out here, I think, Jim.
No, she enjoyed herself, Bill, and entitled too.
Went to the races, I think, with some of the staff here at Triple M.
I'll tell you what we're doing, Bill, just to stop you from saying anything more. We are going into the second hour of this show today, and you are going to have a joke off with a young family member.
Oh.
Yes, like a Rush Hour family member, and maybe even a family member. And I'm looking forward to it because he is of the opinion, this young man, that your jokes have been so appalling, he wants a piece of you one-on-one.
Well, this is good because it is very difficult to sit here and tell jokes, Jim.
No, it isn't.
It is.
No, it actually isn't.
And try and get them to be
funny. He is going to show you, at age 13, how to tell a joke.
It better not be another Brayshaw.
All right.
I'm sick of bloody, everywhere I read and look, there's bloody Brayshaws. I feel
good! All right, we replay the train wreck that was Bill on Saturday. That's not far away. And then a joke-off finish the show. Yeah. Make sure you're listening about 3:55.
A joke-off?
Yes.
With whom?
A young family member. The Rush Hour family members had enough.
Angus?
Of how bad your jokes are.
Angus?
So he wants a piece of you, Bill, and we'll get to that at the end of the show.
I hate having it with little kids because you've got to try and be nice to them. And they're never funny. And everyone laughs at them. So
all right, what do you got?
Now, Damien Oliver claims he's ninth. That's nine, Jim.
Mm.
Scobie Breasley medal.
Wow.
That is unbelievable.
That is amazing.
22 years since he won his first one.
Yep.
Polled 54 votes ahead of Craig Williams on 44, Damien Lane 36. So well done to Ollie.
Has he had that good a year, Ollie?
Yeah, he has. And he hasn't really got a stable trainer. So he rides for different trainers, which is good. Normally the good ones have one trainer and they get all the best horses, but he rides for a few.
Beautiful.
Speaking of trainers, the Victorian Trainers Premiership, guess who wins that?
Who?
Back Weir, Drink Beer. Darren Weir, 435 wins.
Nice.
And I've got two horses with him.
Have you? Any of yours won?
Not one of those 435. Come on, Weary. So well done to Darren Weir. Well done to Damien Oliver.
Nice, Bill. Now, Bill.
Yes.
You said to your son, start of the year when he had his only bad game for the year. He's been very, very good and will be drafted father-son to the Cats. But his first game wasn't as good, and you waded into the rooms, yourself, 198-game veteran Huey of the Cats, and said, you've just got to play better.
Got to get better.
That was his advice.
That's great.
Not any technical advice as to starting positions or what to do. No just technique. You've just got to play better.
You know why? Because that's what the coaches and the Falcons set up do, Jim. Yeah. So you should not go in and try and change the way they play.
No.
But you've just got to get better out in the ground.
Just got to get better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's good advice.
No.
And you work in special comments, don't you, Bill?
Yeah,
that's it. C-Bus, are they happy with us?
So, Bill,
yep.
I put the same advice your way after you listen to this from Saturday.
And, of course, you've got to remember, it's Richmond Collingwood today at the MCG. It might help.
No, it's not. It's Port Adelaide Collingwood today at the MCG.
It's Port Adelaide and Collingwood.
Oh, no.
What did he say?
What sort of a start are you off to, Bill?
Because the first question's about Richmond, and we've got...
Wait, you're in career worst, Bill. Seriously.
It's Port Adelaide Collingwood, Jim, today. You. And we've got Pierre.
Just finished having lunch. Going to prepare a coffee.
Good. Really? Is that your name, Pierre?
Yes, that's correct.
No, that's his dog's name.
Well,
a chance it is, Bill.
Could be his nickname. Are you French, Pierre?
I'm from Mauritius.
Right.
Okay.
That's French. That's one of the French islands.
It can be.
Well, it is.
Off where, Bill?
Off France.
No, it's not.
The south of France. The Richmond have now won how many consecutive, that's in a row, Pierre, games at the MCG?
18.
Oh, Pierre.
Come on.
He's been over Mauritius too long.
Mauritius off the east coast of Africa, by the way, Bill.
It's near France. It's Nice, down that way, towards Nice.
Bill.
Yes, Jim.
You just when we think you can't actually get any worse... You achieve it.
It's a French colonial.
Oh, no.
It's a French part. It is French. What do you say, Huey?
Colony.
That's what I was looking for.
Oh, no.
It's a French colony, Jim.
Thank you, Bill.
Yes, Jim.
Nowhere near Nice.
That was down the bottom that way, now near Nice.
Sort of Madagascar. Yeah.
St. Paul de Vence.
That's nowhere near there, Bill.
Yeah. St. Paul de Vence is down that way, Jim.
I know that's in the south of France, Bill, but this Mauritius is nowhere near there.
Is it near Madagascar?
It is.
Where all the animals are.
East coast of Africa, Bill.
That is normal. Give me a look.
Anyway, so what we'll do here, Huey, is just a break, and then we'll go to the family. Yeah.
Jim, near Mozambique.
Thank you, Bill.
Yes.
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me that?
I did say that.
Oh, down South Africa.
We'll revisit this in a second.
Yes, more.
All right, so that was the Saturday rub there.
Yes, very good,
where
Bill.
Bill just slaughtered it.
Old C-Bus Brownless.
I think we've also got an example, haven't we, Huey, from this show not long ago that we can probably roll through as well.
No, you haven't, Huey. Sucked in. What are you going to play now, Huey?
You've actually got too many.
You've got nothing to play, so now you're trying to pad.
Nah.
Come on, you.
What do you want, Raw?
Oh, don't.
Oh, no.
He's pulled out an old one.
Yep.
What was it? We got Jilly, our beautiful producer, in. What did he do last week that floored us?
The day.
Yeah, he just got the whole day wrong.
Oh, no. You know what day it is, Jim?
What?
Wednesday, 15th of August. It's gone quick the year, hasn't it?
Thursday, the 16th of August, by the way.
I'm looking at Wednesday the 15th.
Oh, no.
Herald Sun.
Bill had the day before's Herald Sun. He was reading it.
And no wonder I knew everything that had gone on.
All right. Now, 133353 is the number, hence.
Hence.
A pretty simple question.
What is it?
Have you got a mate who's further off the pace than Bill?
Oh, Jim. Jim, you can't beat an old horse.
Nominate your mate who is further off the pace than our man, Bill Brownless. Huey, what are we giving away?
Okay, so we've got tickets to the D's and GWS on Sunday. Of course, the D's locked in a finals berth.
Ooh.
For tickets, you can head to Ticketek or win some right here. The Nina and Pasadena clothing pack, jeans, cap and T-shirt. Head to neverlandstore.com.au. But this is a new one for this week.
Ooh.
We had the skydive last week.
We did.
This week, you can go for a hot air balloon ride inside the Triple M hot air balloon.
Nice.
We've got a Triple M hot air balloon with Dr. Dan on it.
Yep.
It leaves first thing in the morning. So
very
early. You've got to be a morning man or a woman to get involved.
Woman.
It's Melbourne's best hot air balloon flights in the Triple M balloon with balloonman.com.au.
You've
got one of them to go.
Good fun, Jim. Have you been hot air balloon?
No, I have never done
it. It is very good. Very quiet up there.
Too early in the morning for me.
You know what you hear? Dogs barking.
Oh, listen to this.
You do.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Jim, I bet you do. Someone will ring in and tell you that because, you know, they hear the balloon and then they just start barking all along every suburb
of the fly.
Yeah, the fly.
133353 is the number.
How far off are you?
Do you have a mate further off the post than Bill? And look at him come for it.
Yep, full board.
We've got a full board of callers.
Jeez, there must be some dopey blokes.
Tell us what they do to be further off the pace than our man Brownless. So what we're doing here is asking the question 133353 style. Have you got a mate who's further off the pace than Bill? Because lately his work has, as I say, plummeted new depths.
How long we got to go?
James.
Are we on in September?
Yeah, we are.
Yep. Have you told him about the...
Earlier time?
Yeah.
Well, we've been waiting for the announcement on that, but yeah, that's because of you.
Yes.
100% is because of you.
What time?
Well, you said September's all about lunches and up on stage and you're able to do another job.
Yes.
So we've had to move our show to accommodate you.
When do we announce it?
A little bit later on. James is Doreen. Hello, Jimmy.
James is in Doreen.
Hey, lads. How are we?
Good, Jimmy. What do you got for us?
Mate, me and my mate Jackie Boy here just on the way home. We can't believe how the hell you can hold that job. Seriously.
Bill?
A month ago, Billy.
Yeah.
You didn't know where Jollymont Station was, and you've been playing at the MCG for bloody years.
I got it mixed up with Richmond, yes.
You know, we bust our ass every day, go to work, trying to get a bloody promotion, and yet we get sucked into people like you on the bloody radio.
That's it.
Talking crap and getting paid for it.
That's it, Bill.
Well, sit there and listen.
Oh, no. Jimmy, I couldn't agree with you anymore. Stay on the line. That's good. Joe in Frankston, Bill.
Joey.
Come on, boys.
Come on, Joey.
Well, I've got a guy that I used to work with. His name's Dino, and he was an absolute shocker, mate. He would forget something every single day. He would absolutely butcher the English language.
Yes.
Nick Revolt all the time, telling his story about when he once met Nick Revolt. The same story every single time.
That's it.
2 years after I finished work with him, I was able to tell him his stories better than he could.
I love it. Mate, well done, Joe. That's the man who's off the pace.
Yeah.
Two stories.
The old mate that tells the same story, Jim. Bill.
Ralph Geelong. Ralphie.
Ralphie.
Racetrack.
Hey, how are you going, Bill?
Racetrack.
Hey, my mate Andy, every week we're going to wait for him on the tee of golf because he's getting golf shoes.
Oh.
And he only lives like 3 k's away, but every week he's going to go back and get him.
Oh, no.
Work boots.
That's no good.
He's got a coffee, he spills it, and he's got a smoke, he burns himself. Backs into his next door neighbour twice a week. I love it.
Bill, that's a man who's off the pace.
Andy backs him. What did he say? Backs into the
next door neighbours every week. Oh, I love it. Old racetrack. He'll be listening too. Racetrack.
He's going all right.
Ralphie Horowitz. Don't worry. Anthony loves the show. Anthony Warrenwood. Ant?
Yeah, how are you there, boys?
Good.
Just a quick one. Used to live, share house with a mate. And we're watching the Friday night footy one night, probably nudging 20 years ago. And and it was back in the day when they used to have the coverage on a delayed a bit.
Yep.
So obviously delayed coverage. And he's, I said, let's whack the radio on so we can get the real scores. And he's looked at me a bit strangely and he's gone, what do you mean? I said, if you put on the radio, you can get the scores ahead of time. And he's gone, wouldn't that be cool if you're at the game and you could chuck the radio on and listen and get the scores ahead of time? Yeah. Believe it or not.
Name him,
Bob.
His name is Crispy. He lives in Harvey Bay now. He's from Witchy Proof originally, so it probably explains it.
That explains it.
Crispy. Name him, Bob. Tom in Watsonia. Tommy?
How you going, guys?
Thomas.
Me and my brother, we had to do a little bit of shopping for a barbecue. Our wives normally do all the shopping.
Yes.
So I was walking up to the register, and he's got an armful of chickens, like 3 or 4 roasted chickens, the pre-cooked ones.
Yes.
I said to him, what are you doing with those? And he said, look, they're all a bit reduced in market texture. I said, no, it's the bloody time they cook them.
Oh.
2:30 and 3 o'clock. He thought it was
$3. $2.30.
Come on, Bill.
What's your brother's name, Tom?
Albert.
Come on, Albert. You should be better than that. Stay. I love that, Tommy. Stay there. Cameron Pakenham.
Hey, boys. It's actually Todd from Barwon Heads. How you going?
No, it's not. We know that. We've blocked him now. What do you got?
Many years ago, me and my mates were sitting around talking some crap, and we just happened to stop talking for a couple of seconds and notice what the girls were talking about. And they brought some new glasses together, and they were sitting there talking about their brand new glasses, and one of them said to the other one, said, "Oh, I think mine are a little whiter than yours." So she picks them up and starts weighing them in her hands.
Oh.
And yeah, she actually meant the colour.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No,
Bill, that's, did you get that's that? Not working. That doesn't work.
No.
Stay there, Cam. Thanks, Cam. Sam, Preston, I like these. Sam.
Good afternoon, boys. This one's about my best mate. He's a chippy. Top yep. bloke. You gotta love him to death. But has no idea how to talk to a girl. And this mm-hmm. is where Billy's issue comes into it with the English language.
Yes.
He can't text if his life depended on it. Oh, anyway, man. So what he has to do now is when he gets a message, he forwards it on to himself. I'll type the message and I'll say, don't change the message, just forward this on.
Oh, no.
Because you'll have no chance if you text yourself. So we tested it out.
Yeah.
He'll text one and I'll text one, and he always gets a reply when I forward it on. So moving forward, mate, the bloke's still single, but he's got no idea.
That's off the pace.
That is way off the pace. Please talk in text.
Not really well, but you can.
And sex them. Sex.
Sorry? Oh, but text. Thank you, Bill. That's an example of what we're talking about. Right there. Greg Romsey. Hello, Greg.
Text some
dudes. Hello, Fat Skinny. How you going?
Good, mate.
That's good. I've got actually two. One's my best mate, Robert. Mm-hmm. When we were young chaps and he got his licence, he was out there parking with his girlfriend and I accidentally left the car going too long and it had a flat battery.
Ooh.
So he called us up for a push start because it was a manual. So we're pushing it down the road. Nothing's happening. We're wondering what's going on. So we stopped. And what he was doing was trying to turn the key while we're pushing.
Come on, Robert.
He can't have been that dumb.
Robert.
That's not possible.
And you had another one.
Yeah, it's my son, actually. We live in Romsey. We're along Long Deep Creek. And there's a couple of Fords there. And my son was in the car with me this day. And he read the sign, Ford Impassable, when in flood. He goes, Dad, why can't Fords get across but Holden's can?
Oh, no. Come on.
All coming from you, Greg.
That's it, Greg. You're responsible 100% there. Dennis Craigieburn. Oh, she's got some topics here. Oh, Dennis.
G'day, guys. We had a mate in school. I used to go up to him and tell him a funny joke that I'd heard over the weekend, and, you know, all my mates would start pissing themselves laughing, and himself included. And then when we disbanded, he'd be standing there straight-faced just trying to make sense of the joke. And then not too much longer later, we saw him go up to a group of fairly good-looking girls and trying to regurgitate the same joke.
No.
And the girls would just stand there scratching their heads going, what the hell is this bloke on about? And he'd look over at us and we're just pissing ourselves looking at him.
That's it, Bill. That's not working, Marco. No, come on. No. And Flip, finally, Seaford. Flip.
Oh, Flip.
How you going, boys? Good. How's your day?
Yeah, good day.
Yeah, my one is a bit behind Billy's. Johnny the Piano Man.
Oh no.
We've
got to meet this bloke.
Yep.
Yeah, he's your brother-in-law. He does nothing but move pianos. But he's the only bloke I know that can fart on command.
Well, David Armitage.
Armitage.
You might have a go one-on-one with him.
I don't know, mate, because he can almost go the length of the alphabet.
He rings us every time we have a quiz on Sunday.
He's very busy.
John the Piano Man.
He moves pianos.
He does.
Very, very busy, Jim.
And he's front of the queue. He waits for the quiz and then jumps on immediately.
He does.
All right, who are we getting? Amazing prizes.
Yeah,
yes. Just the balloon ride for a start.
Bill, who's winning? Mate? Oh, Tom from Watsonia was good where they had the barbecue chickens and his brother Albert come down with the... they're
four
reduced. And it was $2.30. He thought that $2.30 was the
brilliant.
Time.
I like that.
On you, Tommy.
Tommy.
Yeah.
You've got the choice of the prize board.
Okay, you've got the Melbourne and GWS tickets on Sunday, the Nina and Pasadena clothing pack, or the Triple M balloon ride.
I'll take the balloon ride.
That's Melbourne's best hot air balloon flights. Jeez. Are in the Triple M balloon with balloonman.com.au.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
I like that. Enjoy that. Who else, Bill?
Joe from Frankston, who once met Nick Revolt, and he just keeps telling that story. We've all got mates like that keep telling the story.
I like it.
Yep.
And you, Joey?
Thanks, boys.
Footy tickets or the Nina and Pasadena?
I'll take the Nina Pasadena prize pack. I think the brother-in-law will love that.
Yeah, nice. Jeans, cap, T-shirt, neverlandstore.com.au.
Greg Romsey, I love that. he and his mates are trying to push start the car and the idiot's actually turning the key rather than riding the clutch. Hey, Greg.
You.
Here's the prizes for you.
Yep, you're going to the Triple MCG on Sunday for Melbourne and GWS. Last minute tickets for ticketek.com.au for that. But you are going for free.
That sounds good.
Enjoy that, Greg. And Jimmy from Doreen.
Oh.
We don't need to get Jimmy on, but he, of course, for 20 years has been listening to Bill in the media and cannot understand how he gets paid to do what he does.
Come on,
Jimmy. So, Jimmy, we'll get something for you too, please.
Yep, Nina in Pasadena for you, Jim.
Well done.
Keep listening, eh?
Yeah, no worries, mate.
Hey, speaking of keep listening,
yes.
Joke off to finish today's show. And a young family member is going to take you on head-to-head.
I welcome it, Jim.
Watching the cricket last night from from Trent Bridge, England, of course, taking on India. Sent in to bat, made 300 for the loss of, what, about seven?
Six
or seven. Anyway, it reminded me of 1997. Wasn't there myself, but Brendan Jolly and Greg Blewett were part of the Australian touring team there.
Yeah.
They won the test match at Old Trafford, Bill. Some reason the Canberra Raiders were in the same part of the world. I think they used to have that world championship. Yep. If you won the NRL, you'd go over there and play. Anyway.
Best sides in the world
at
playoff.
Yep. So, Bill, they ended up in the Old Trafford rooms with the Australian team, end of a test match. Bluey and BJ, the certified mad. Certified mad, these blokes.
What?
They grabbed hold of, well, for a start, they got the shirts off.
Yeah.
Grabbed one of the Duncan Fernley or GC scoops or whatever, and you had to stand there. Tense your gut muscles while the other bloke could hit you in the guts with a cricket bat as hard as you like. That, Bluey said that's where it started. He said by the end, the four, and old Malma, it was Malmaninga, of course, involved.
Malma.
They grabbed Bill,
yes.
The fullback, like the Billy Slater of the side, whoever the hell that was in 1997. Four blokes, Bill, one on each arm and one on each leg, would give it the one, two, three, straight into the roof. Threw him straight into the ceiling. And Bill, he'd dust himself off, they reckon, and then he'd say, right, I'm ready to go again.
Oh, Bettingham.
So straight into the ceiling of the Nottingham Trent Bridge.
Straight in, bang.
These blokes said to me, I've never seen behaviour like it.
The cricketers said that.
They said they're completely mad, destroyed the dressing rooms.
Well, they can do that, the league players. Down hallways and things.
Oh, Bill.
What happened to the bubbler? Remember the bubbler used to be big in the rugby league scene, didn't it?
No, they have. These blokes still talk about it. Ian Healy, all of them, 20-odd years later. Just extraordinary.
Interesting you mentioned Brendan Julian.
Beach.
Because we've seen all the, Channel 7 have got the cricket, of course.
Yes.
And you've...
Foxtel have got it
too.
Yes.
And we've seen Warnie join up at Foxtel.
Oh, Adam Gilchrist, of course. Yeah. Mark Waugh.
Yes.
The great Alan Border.
They've all come out. No Brendan Julian.
Oh, he's got to be involved somewhere.
Well, he's been there since day dot.
Yes.
So you would hope that they'd...
He'll be in there somewhere. Good-looking man.
I haven't seen him.
All right.
I haven't seen him at all.
They haven't released their whole team, perhaps.
Well, wow.
Bill, they threw the little bloke into the ceiling.
Yes. Yeah. Lucky there wasn't a fan.
Oh, no.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Think this'll be cheesy? You can't say no. Just say CC's.
Our very good sponsors and Diablo, of course, but CC's, you can't say no.
Now, Bill.
Yeah.
This young man has the day off. Why have you got a day off, George Brayshaw, by the way?
Why? Student free day.
Can you believe that?
The more money you pay, Jim,
the less time they actually spend at
bloody
the school.
Bloody oath.
It's quite extraordinary.
What is it, a student free day?
Yeah.
Now, that's a joke in itself.
I agree. Anyway, so what he said to me is, I want to come to work with you today, Dad, and I want to have a piece of Bill because his jokes are
horrendous.
That's a good word.
So
horrendous.
Bill, let's go. George wants to take you on one on one with a joke off.
A joke off. I'll go first, Georgie.
Righto, here we go.
And I know your dad doesn't. He tries not to laugh, but you can, right? My friend was addicted to eating frozen poultry. He quit cold turkey.
Oh no.
You might understand that, George, but he quit cold turkey, George.
What do you think of that, George?
It's terrible.
All right, Bill.
All right, so smart Alec. You have a go.
Okay. Right. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Yah.
Yahoo.
No thanks, I use Google.
That is stupid. That's a stupid...
That's a proper joke.
No, it's not. It's
and properly told.
Yahoo.
No, thanks. He uses Google. All right, that's why I'm very good
knock,
by
knock,
you.
Knock, George.
Who's there?
Get stuff.
Here we go, singing loud.
Here we go. Well done, Georgie Brayshaw.
Woo! Bill's had his ass kicked.
Yes, by a 13-year-old little munchkin.
Another catch-up podcast of Triple M's Rush Hour is done and dusted.
What about that for a show?
Diablo accessories have the ability to get the job done. Check out Diablo's full range at diablotools.com.au.